Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The Dodgers get an angry win on Sunday to salvage what was a down week for your boys in blue. We've got Jose Mota joining us to talk about all things Dodger baseball. We'll talk about the bullpen concerns. How can they fix that bullpen? All that and more here on another episode of Dodgers Dugout Live.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
That's strike three. Dodgers have won it all in 2020.
Mookie Betts
cranks one.
I don't care how many times this team rips my heart out, I'll never stop loving the Los Angeles Dodgers. Think blue, bleed blue, and I'm out.
What is up, Dodgers Nation? Doug McCain here, credential member of Dodgers Media. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC_LA. Now, if you haven't yet, do us a huge favor and subscribe to the Dodgers Nation YouTube channel, the number one Dodgers YouTube channel here on YouTube. Hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell. Also, hit that done down below. Comment done down below so you're eligible for all of our giveaways. We're doing a giveaway at 90,000 subscribers. We're so close to giving away an authentic Mookie Betts jersey, and we're doing tons of giveaways this entire season. So you don't want to be left out. Be sure to subscribe. Hit that notification bell. It's all thanks to you. This year is all about you guys, the fan out there. We are giving back to you all season long. Of course, every episode of Dodgers Dugout Live starts with the poll question of the show. I asked you guys over on the X, other than Evan Phillips, which Dodgers reliever do you trust most in the Dodgers bullpen? Right now, 66% of you say Daniel Hudson, 11% say Ryan Brazier, 16% say Joe Kelly, 7% say Alex Vesia. So let me know down below in the comment section, which Dodgers reliever outside of Evan Phillips do you trust the most? Because that really has been one of the glaring issues with this Dodgers team so far. The bullpen has been inconsistent. They also have been overworked at times. So that definitely has been an issue. But let me know down below in the comment section also, where are you representing Dodgers Nation from today? Give me those cities down below in the comment section. Then quickly, we're going to get to my best, one of the best baseball minds, Mr. Jose Mota. This guy's forgot more baseball than most people have ever known. We're going to catch up with Mota on a Mota Monday here in a second. Looks like, are we having some issues with the comments down below? So we're going to find out what's going on here. Are we not on the YouTubes? Let's see. We're going to check it out. Let's see what's going on. On the okay, they're on the pop. Let's see. We got the pop. Okay, we'll just worry about that in a second here. But yeah, let's jump right into it. We got Jose Mota, who is joining us. We're going to talk about the historic week that was for Shohei Ohtani. Ohtani ends up passing Hideki Matsui, most home runs ever, 176 home runs for Shohei Ohtani. By the way, in case you're wondering, he did not get the ball back. Those balls were pre-authenticated. The fan who caught it left the stadium. So we'll see if how much he's going to be able to get for it, what he's going to do with it. We got Kersey Beckers in the chat from Glendora, California. We got Daniel Doering says, Victor Gonzalez being destroyed as we speak. Yeah, I mean, I try to warn you guys about the Victor Gonzalez thing. People were saying, oh, the Dodgers, they should have traded Victor Gonzalez. He's having a lot of success with the pinstripes. It was only a matter of time, and the strikeout rate was so low, the FIP, the ERA, all this stuff is going to even out, and I actually hope Victor Gonzalez has all the success in the world. I mean, I pretty much root for all these guys to go out there and play their best, but look, you're going to have off days, but let's get into it. We got Jose Mota, one of the best analysts in the game. He currently is the play-by-play analyst for your Los Angeles Dodgers on the Spanish broadcast. You see him on Sportsnet LA. You hear him on AM 570. So definitely check that out. And we'll find out what's going on with the comment section down below. And I'll answer your comments a little later on the seventh inning stretch. So we got San Jose checking in. JJ over on the X. We got Gagne, Charlie Greco over on Facebook. So yeah, we'll work on that. But let's jump right into it. Jose Mota joining us. We're talking all things Dodger baseball. Here, let's check it out. What is up, Dodgers Nation? We've got a Mota Monday today. The great, the incomparable Mr. Jose Mota, Dodgers play-by-play analyst. And he, of course, he's on the East Coast right now. The Dodgers start their 9-game road trip. They're going to be in Washington. They're going to be in Toronto, then in Arizona. Jose, thank you so much for the time today, my man.
Always a pleasure, man. Always great to cooperate with you guys, and certainly even much better after salvaging that homestand with a big, big win yesterday.
Yeah, and Jose, let's start right there. The Dodgers, they had lost 7 of the last 9 games. The offense had cooled off. You had the bullpen blowing some leads. But then you get an angry 10-0 win. Tyler Glass now was outstanding. How much do you think this team really needed that win yesterday?
They needed it. I mean, it's a big lift off everybody's shoulders, including the fans, who obviously we always think about. But for the players, too, to know that whatever they're going through, you go out there and learn and apply and know that you got to come up with some vengeance and some urgency. But, you know, the team is offensively so talented. The spurt they were on, and hopefully they were past it now with a worse, is something that opened some eyes. It was concerning at some point, but they look at the tally, you go, well, this is going to pass. And over 162, man, you got to get exposed to so many things. But certainly to see the big show kind of get everything going yesterday was terrific. And these guys, I know they're ready for more, and they're eager for more. They haven't even played their best baseball yet. They're still in first place. And they're going to continue to, you know, roll out as they get to know each other more and give these fans something to cheer for a long time.
Yeah, it's a great point right there. When the Dodgers, when things are going bad for the Dodgers, it's when they're still in first place, right? I mean, it's just the expectations are just through the roof. But we'll start with Shohei Ohtani. You mentioned it yesterday. He really took this team, put him on his back yesterday, passes Hideki Matsui, his 176 home runs. That's the most home runs ever by a Japanese-born player in Major League Baseball. And it's funny because a couple weeks ago, we were talking about, okay, he's off to a little bit of a slow start. Then all of a sudden, he's hitting 368. He's leading the big leagues in batting average. You're looking at the slugging. He's in third place, fifth in weighted runs created plus. You've seen more Ohtani than just about anyone. On a scale of kind of 1 to 10 on the locked in Ohtani scale, where do you think he's at right now?
From what I see and what I know, he's probably about at 7.5 right now. I know there's more in that tank, and I know the show is very studious and so deliberate in learning things. He's learning how they're approaching him nowadays. You can see that the whipping in action with that swing is coming. It's not there yet. And I'm going to find an example and send it to you on what I'm talking about. There's a fastball in on Severino from a few years back at the Angel Stadium in 97. They just whips the bat through, and you'll see that swing come along as the season progresses. Now, Shohei is such a complete hitter, as you mentioned, that it's easy to get lost in where's the power. I mean, it's like people expect him to hit, you know, 20 home runs the first month of the season just because he got this contract. And then, you know, even just like 10 days ago when he's on the homestand and some people are wondering, going, what is wrong with him? I'm like, what is wrong with what? Leading the league in total bases, leading the league in extra bases, 3 or 4 home runs. There's more coming, but I mean, at the same time, it's like, hey, it takes 9 guys. And Shohei's the first one to tell you. And I talked to Shohei often, you know, talked to him last night. He knows that when in scoring position has been an issue, that, you know, he's like 2 for 20 coming into yesterday, but he knows what he's been doing wrong to correct it. The Shohei Ohtani that you'll see and hopefully find back with men in scoring position is the one that takes almost like an Ichiro type approach and uses center field to the opposite field a lot. But Doug, I'm glad you mentioned everything that's going on, because He's so hungry to win, which can never be lost in this whole thing. He is getting fed in an environment that he's never been in before. Let me tell you, it is such a joy when you speak with him and to see his face and how much peace he has. And the surrounding team around him, too, makes it so much easier. I mean, he's got star people around him are going to make him a better human being and thus enjoy the game even more.
Yeah, and you beat me to it. I mean, the narrative last week was Shohei Ohtani with runners in scoring position. He was 1-for-19 at one point. Now he's 3-for-22. He came through a couple times in the weekend series. What I was saying all last week was, if you look at the expected numbers, if you look at the BABIP numbers, he had just been unlucky in those situations, right? He was still hitting the ball extremely hard. I was saying, don't change a thing, because in the course of a 162-game season, this is someone that's going to come up there to do damage, and that's going to even out. I don't want him to change a thing, but like what you're saying right now, is there a situation where you see more pitches, you're a little less aggressive in those situations? Because the stats say he's been more aggressive than any player in Major League Baseball with runners in scoring position this year.
And that's one thing where you got to kind of play around with the balance, right? Like, as a manager, as a hitting coach, do you want to mess with that and then sacrifice some of the things that are happening with him on the opposite side of without men in scoring position? But those things will come, as you say, and I'm glad the baseball has so many ways, and you do a very good job digging in and finding out on exit velocities and barrels and things like that that are going on with men in scoring position. You know, two or three more hits in there, they're pepper in, and the numbers, we're not even talking about them, right? But because Shohei, the expectations, it's been brought up. And to him, it's paying attention to those situations more, because when I've seen Shohei and not succeed in these situations, the zone gets way too big. And the swing gets big, thus the other team smells the same thing. And they're like, hey, he's trying to drive this run in, not giving perhaps the deepest at bat, and let's go out there and exploit it. And they have. But now you see the last couple of games, like, shorten things up. Home run number 176 yesterday, historic home run. Nice and easy swing after he struck out on a similar pitch. Now, this was a hanger. The one before had the spin, but he recognized spin early and said, if that pitch is up in the zone, I don't need to take the biggest swing. And that ball goes over well over 400 feet. But he's a special player that's feeding off the great environment that I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm just saying, look, I get it. I mean, my little league coach just say, hey, one swing for you, two swings for me, right? You go up there, take that big daddy hack, and you kind of shorten up. But this is Shohei Ohtani, right? You can tell Picasso how to paint. Go up there and be you, and good things exactly are going to happen. Now, one thing really stood out to me during this weekend series was Saturday's game. Of course, a lot was made about the Dodgers going 1-for-8 with the bases loaded, 6 strikeouts. But what stood out to me was Betts, Ohtani, and Freeman, they reached base a combined 12 times. Mookie and Ohtani, they walked 3 times. Freeman walked twice. The rest of the lineup, they combined to go 2-for-24. It just felt like the game plan was, we're not going to let Ohtani beat us. Do you think that's going to be the approach for teams this season? How important is it for the rest of the lineup to kind of make them pay and keep them honest?
Oh, there's no doubt. Why would you allow the top 4 or 5 guys to go out there and make a difference for you, right? Now, there's times in which you cannot get around it, right? But what happens is, you think about Mookie Betts last season, right, and Freddie. Mookie drives in 107 runs. That does not happen without what? Without the guys, 7, 8, 9, getting on base. Now, Mookie was clutch. He delivered. But as a hitting coach, and even if you don't have like a nowadays baseball has like offensive coordinators, it's something that you can actually point out and just point to the guys, you know, from Teoscar down and even just below Teoscar. Guys, listen, you do not need to even to have your career year. And I'm talking about a mindset, Doug, that can only be implemented when guys get away from, my God, we have to contribute more and do more. You don't have to do more. Your job is to prolong innings, to pass the baton. And it's not about protection anymore, though. You know, we pass that part of the lineup. Forget about protection. It's about what can you do? Is it that minute second base that you need to move over? Yes. Or drive in or give you a deeper at bat. And those things are going to just, in the long run, benefit everybody, because you don't want this lineup to stay as top heavy, because we know there's capabilities. A guy like James Allen, for example, sometimes it swings a little bit long, but you see what happens. We saw the glimpses of it when he starts going the other way and just waiting on the ball a little bit more. This guy's got power to go everywhere. And when he think about the turnaround last season for James, he started taking those walks. And that will come without him thinking about more my averages, a little bit more luck, Gavin Lux to me is a key piece of this whole thing because he's a proven hitter of the big leagues. He can get the extra bases. And Dougie, he's going to score from first base on these luggers getting balls down the line and to the gap. So it'll balance itself out, but I think they need to cut down on the whiffs. That is one aspect in which you have to protect home plate, not take as many third strikes called. I mean, the umpires are going to miss sometimes, but you got to find a way to get it done. And let me give you best example on this. Mookie Betts, remember the series in Chicago and Minnesota? Mookie was getting called on pitches that were way out of the zone outside. He made the adjustment, says, okay, here's what I got to do then. I got to cover the outer half a little bit more, not try to hit home runs. And look at how that's helped Mookie become even more complete hitter, getting balls to the right side early in counts, gets a single, hits double the other way. So this batter part of the order needs to understand that for them to be contributors, they need to put the ball in play more often, going back to what you talk about, Little League.
Yeah, and absolutely. And you bring up Mookie Betts, and look, I mean, this is a player who's put up MVP numbers, but he's eighth on the team with plate appearances with runners on base. And we see how important it is for the bomb of the slam to turn over the slam to get the big three opportunity to score runs. Now, you mentioned Gavin Lux, and look, it's no secret it's been a slow start for Lux. And it's also important to remind everyone out there, he's coming off a gruesome knee injury, a hamstring injury, an injury where it kept him off the diamond for over a year. Now, you're also seeing the sprint speed start to creep up a little bit. He's starting to have better at-bats, see more pitches. But what are you seeing from Gavin Lux right now at the plate, and do you think he's trending in the right direction?
He is trending in the right direction, and what he needs to do is have more productive at-bats so he can be there every day. I think this guy's an everyday player. We know he handles left-handers quite well. You know, a 1-for-4 against lefty is just fine because he's going to take a walk and have a big hit, you know, for you. I really think, Doug, at times, because of the magnitude of his injury and having seen guys try to rebound from injuries like this, his front leg.
Parents, when you visit California, childhood rules. If you don't remember how awesome childhood is, just ask yourself,
what would kids do?
Dance to a giant organ played by ocean waves? Yep. Camp in floating tree houses hundreds of feet off the ground? Check. Jump in a big tub of mud on purpose? Call it rejuvenation. We don't care. Just pack your fun pants and let childhood rule your family vacation. Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed. From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
It's a landing leg, right? Well, so many times you're told in baseball, hit against that leg. Is he there yet physically, mentally? We don't know that, right? And I see sometimes where it's almost like he's leaking out to protect that leg a little bit because consciously and almost like emotionally, you're like, it's going to hurt. It might hurt. It happens with pitchers. It happens with, you know, base runners and trying to get that first step when they hurt their legs or like a groin injury. So I think for Gavin, it's getting past all these mental hurdles still because you cannot replicate anything that happens in a baseball game at the big league level with the Dodgers, by the way, into what you do in the offseason, it just, or spring training, it just doesn't do it. I think He is still battling mentally some things that are just getting in the way. Athletically, he's there. He's gifted. But, man, he is big. But I think that front leg sometimes is just not allowing him to land where he wants to land, to stay behind the ball and be a more complete hitter who sprays the ball around, is not leaking so much, and maybe cheating with his hands to be quick. But so that'll come with strength, with time, repetition, and knowing that he is fine to play baseball and the okay has been made.
See, that makes sense, because if you look at the hands, the bat speed is still there. Kind of what makes him a potentially special hitter is those quick hands through the zone, but it makes sense. I mean, this is someone who's trying to gain confidence in his lower half, but what do you think is the fair amount of plate appearances to truly assess it? Maybe 150, 200?
I'm going to go, it's 100 plus, maybe the 125, 150, just to tell yourself, okay, now the season has really started for me, but there's still a long season. I know what I have to do. I know how they're pitching to me. And believe me, here's another thing. Pitchers and scouts and all the reports you get now, they sense all this, and they're going to try to exploit the weakest part of your swing today, not 2 years ago. Where is he today that we can act on and exploit? And if they can have you move your bottom half a little bit and just have a little more unstable, they're going to do it, because they know everything else collapses when your bottom half is not there.
Interesting stuff. And I think one of my big highlights of the weekend, I don't want to get too overly excited about this guy, but Andy Páez. I mean, this guy, anytime he's made contact, he's absolutely tearing the cover off the baseball. Yesterday, he gets things going. You get the double, you got the home run. It's really tough to keep guys out of the big leagues with this kind of talent, right, Jose?
It is hard to do it. And the one thing that Andy is learning is he is pretty much a dead knee high killer. He can kill that pitch. I mean, there's no doubt about it, because to me, I define his swing this way. He's got a left-handed swings and a right-handed bat. That's his swing right there. And I saw in spring training, he's got the big dip. You know what he? So that's why he gets beats upstairs. But with experience, and you can only gain that in the big leagues, right? And getting exploited and exposed, he's going to learn that layoff of that high fastball, because that has been the enemy for so many guys. Because remember one thing, too, is command right now in the big leagues, it's all about pitching upstairs and not letting guys hurt you downstairs. I don't truly believe in that 100%, okay? Guys miss downstairs. When they miss downstairs, take your best hack and don't try to do too much. And we saw that again happen last night. If you look at the previous days where it's fastballs, they started at the waist and they keep going up the letters and up the shoulders. He's not going to catch up with that swing. And eventually, as he levels the swing a little bit more and learns about how the league is pitching to him, he's going to continue to do some damage. And hopefully the adjustment for him will come soon, because we know he could be a big addition to the bottom of that lineup.
See, and that's what I love to hear, because it's unfortunate that Jason Hayward got injured, but I think one of the pluses, the silver linings and all this, is you give Páez that opportunity and you give him enough runway to where teams can adjust to him, and then he can work on the process of adjusting back, kind of like we saw with James Albin. But I'm telling you, man, that bat is going to play. I mean, I don't know if you've seen this side-by-side comparisons with him and Justin Turner, him and Jay Buhner. Telling you, I'm all in on Andy Páez. Now, a couple more get you out of here. Now, the bullpen, yes, they've had their struggles early on. They're not at full strength. You still are out with Bruce Dar Gratterall. You don't have Blake Treinen. But the one guy I want to ask you about was Ryan Brazier. Now, Brazier, he really was one of the biggest reasons why this bullpen turned things around last season. He was one of their best relievers down the stretch. He's definitely struggled at times early on. What are you seeing from Brazier, and what do you think he needs to do to get back to being the guy that we saw last year that was so dominant for this team?
Yeah, having this conversation last week with Dave Assay about it, I think that more than anything, mechanically, he's not right. That slider is way flat. When you miss with that slider, it has, you know, just enough slide out, but no tilt. It's not going to be easy to get hitters out when they know that you stand on one point. Velocity, you know, he could be a 96, but he's a 93, 94. That will come with time, though. When you see his mechanics, to me, what I've observed is, when he flies open way too early, arm stays behind, and trying to add velocity, perhaps, is creating this whole thing. The Ryan Brazier we saw, who came with a 7.20 ERA from Boston last year, was one where he and Connor McGinnis, Mark Pryor, said, let's go out there and simplify some things. Let's add another pitch. And right now, they're taking that pitch away because he's not able to get into good counts to go out there and deliver and put hitters away. But it's going to come down to this. Not velocity, but cleaner mechanics, stay towards home plate, and maybe even staying a little bit more across and close would not allow right-handed batters to pick up the baseball as easy as they are right now, because you see how many balls have hit hard the right side with power, and also from the left-handed batters, how many balls are being pulled when he leaves it out over the zone. I don't worry too much about guys like this because he does have a background and certainly some room to play with. But because he's a little bit older now, the question is Father Time catching up with him? Well, he can do that by fixing it, because if we talk about Father Time, the Dodgers do have a few relievers that perhaps are not 27, 28, but you need them because the experience they have, and they know to pitch, how to pitch in big situations. He's one of them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think with Ryan Brazier, like you mentioned, yeah, the fastball velocity is down, but they are absolutely teeing off on that slider. Opponents hitting 529. All the home runs he's given up have been off that slider. It's definitely been flat. Hopefully, early enough in the season, you can make those mechanical adjustments, and he can get back to being that guy. That's a huge strength for this bullpen. But the last guy I want to ask you about today, Yoshinobu Yamamoto. Now, Jose, I haven't had this much fun on a pitch-for-pitch basis watching a pitcher in years. I'm just glued to every pitch. You never know what this guy's going to do. But strikeout rate, over 32%. He has proven that he can absolutely strike out big league hitters at a high level. One problem area, though, is the fastball. It feels like teams are sitting on that fastball. They know you're going to get some crazy movement at some point during that bat. So whenever they get the hard stuff, that's when they're going to swing and try to make contact.
And that's exactly what big league teams are going to try to do. If you look at the spring training starts, his first one against Texas, and then after that, it was like jump him early. Why? Because command is not there right now with that fastball. I mean, before his last start, the slugging against the fastball was like 542, which just tells you everything else is going great. Now, one thing for him, too, is, and I'm telling you, this is very important, talking to people in Japan and including his pitching coaches, the catcher behind the plate needs to be so in tune with him as to what the fastball is doing. If it's leaking, which is what it does right now often and gets hit, you have to really stress almost getting a target off the plate. So if it leaks, it's going to leak to a corner. And those are things you learn as you learn a pitcher, right? And through repetition and failure is where you're going to actually make the adjustments. But for Yoshi, it's a matter of where he misses, to me, that's going to become more important, because as you mentioned, everything else is just darting and moving and velocity. I mean, he threw a couple of splitters the other day that stay flatter to steal a strike early in the count. You don't see a lot of guys do that. They're like, oh, the splitter's my, 0-1 pitch or 0-2 pitch. He can go out there and do that, and then the fastball at 95, 97 is going to be more effective. But in the big leagues, you cannot get away with right down the pipe, because you are going to get hit, and hopefully we see better command from him, because that's who he was back in Japan.
Yeah, and that's what makes him so fun to watch. You just never know what pitch he's going to throw in certain counts. And as far as the sequencing goes, once he figures out that fastball, then that's going to totally unlock him to the next step. Dude, but I really keep reminding people.
That hook, man, it is off the charts good. Short, long, and every quadrant. He can hit every quadrant of home plate in the strike zone with that curveball, which is amazing.
Yeah, let's not forget, it's a 25-year-old rookie. I know a lot of people want to put the pressure on because he signed the largest deal that a pitcher has ever signed. But I think that, look, since that first inning from San Diego, when some people were trying to write him off, he has shown he can handle big league hitters. It's just a matter of time. He's adjusting, and I have all the faith in the world that he's going to be that ace-level pitcher for this team for years to come. All right, final question, Jose. You're on the road, right? What is your favorite road city to visit?
The Dodgers were there in September of last year. It's American League City. It's Seattle. I go to Seattle almost every road trip and just have a great time. I mean, the vicinity, proximity to the water, you can get on the ferry and go to Bainbridge Island, the seafood, the stadium, the people, just a great vibe all around that city everywhere you go.
The Emerald City. Gotta love. Well, thank you so much, Jose Mota, for joining us. You guys can follow Jose Mota at JoseMota05. We'll put its info down below in the comment section. But thank you so much for joining us here on Dodgers Dugout Live. Jose Mota, you are the man, and see you soon.
Talk to you soon. By the way, I have something coming for you that we can post soon on Teoscar Hernandez, talking about philosophy and hitting and staying behind the ball and getting to RBI mentality. So that'll be coming soon as we collaborate on Instagram.
Got some big Teoscar Hernandez content coming soon. But yeah, definitely check him out on Instagram. Follow him as well over there. And you can see his stuff on our Instagram as well. The great Jose Mota. This guy has forgotten more baseball than most people have ever known. Thank you, Jose, and enjoy the road trip.
Sayonara.
And And welcome back to Dodgers Dugout Live. That was a conversation I had this morning with Mr. Jose Mota. Now, if you're a fan of baseball, if you're a fan of the game, if you're a student of the game, listen very carefully to everything that Jose Mota has to say, because Jose Mota, he drops knowledge, man. I mean, talking about Gavin Lux, talking about Andy Páez, Shohei Ohtani. I mean, what really got me excited, he said Ohtani wasn't even close to being peak Ohtani. He's not a 10 when it comes to him being locked in. So a lot of very encouraging insight from Jose Mota, and definitely go give him a follow over on Instagram and Twitter. And I thought some of the most interesting things that he had to say were about the pitching, and in particular, Ryan Brazier, because that to me is one of the biggest concerns right now surrounding the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Dodgers, they re-signed Ryan Brazier with the hope, with the expectation that he was going to play a major role in this bullpen. And unfortunately, so far, he has not performed anywhere close to how he was performing last year with the Dodgers. Ryan Brazier, he's going through it, and you look at the slider, opponents hitting over 500 on that slide piece. You look at the fastball, the velocity has dipped. The location just isn't quite there, and they were expecting him to be a high leverage reliever. They were expecting for him to go out there in big spots and put out fires. Now the question is, if he can't get to where he was or anywhere close to it, I mean, at the moment, look at Ryan Brazier right now. At the moment, he has a 550 ERA, a 464 expected ERA, a 368 expected FIP. So there are some signs of encouragement. The BABIP is at 269, strikeout rate pretty close to where it was last season. But I think with Brazier, he has to locate that slider. He has to locate that fastball, and then you can get to that cutter that was so successful against lefties last season. But if Ryan Brazier, we're a couple months into the season and he can't perform, they have to find someone else for that role. I think that was one of my biggest takeaways from last week. If he can't keep the ball in the yard and go out there and be effective and give this team what it needs, then they're going to have to look elsewhere. And I think when it comes to the trade deadline, that is the number one thing you're circling at the moment, is a high leverage bullpen piece, because even though some of these guys are returning, Blake Treinen, he is going to start a rehab program, a rehab start very soon. He's going to go on assignment very soon. But Brusdar Graterol is coming back hopefully towards the end of May. May 18th is the earliest that he can return. Well, even with Blake Treinen beginning a rehab assignment, even with Brusdar Graterol on the mend making his way back, there's just been so many injuries throughout these last couple of seasons that I think that you really need to load up with as many pieces as you can get if this bullpen continues to perform under these expectations. Now, I will say, last season, this bullpen was trending towards being the worst bullpen in franchise history. All the numbers pointed to that, but what happened? You started to see their starting pitching go deeper into games. When your starters can go deeper into games, you don't tax this bullpen as much, and they start to have more success because they're not as worn down. Yesterday, Tyler Glasnow, he was outstanding. He goes 8 innings, and he's the first Dodger to go pitch into the 8th inning since Clayton Kershaw against the Angels back in 2022. But the best thing about his start was the fact that you only saw Nick Ramirez, and you have a fresh bullpen going into a 9-game road trip, their longest road trip of the season. So I definitely think that that's where this plan has to be in place, is look, you got to solidify this bullpen. You have to try to get these guys closer to the guys they were in previous seasons. But we're going to also find your questions. We got Right On Bro. What up, Paul Vaughn over there? Still trying to figure out the chat situation. Oh, we are back. We are back big time here. We got D-Max spot on with Brazier comments, Carl. Joe Madden for 2025. Coach Jose. Look, the thing with Ryan Brazier is he struggled. He's struggling. He's trying to get back to the guy he was last season. And I think for him, he needs to be put in spots where he can have success and be optimized. Unfortunately, the home run ball is hurting him. And look, opponents, they're going to crush hanging sliders in the middle of the zone. We know that. And unfortunately, you just don't have the bite. You don't have the depth to that slider. I don't think all is lost, though. I don't think we're at the point where you can definitively say that Ryan Brazier is not going to be a part of this bullpen. Having said all that, I said a couple shows ago, Look, Craig Kimbrell, they didn't make the postseason roster. This team is not going to be shy when it comes to moving guys off certain roles. This team, they know they have to win this season, and that is where the focus is going to be. So we'll talk more about the bullpen tomorrow. We're going to do a deep dive in the pen. But yeah, right now the problem area definitely is Ryan Brazier. I think Joe Kelly had a better appearance. Alex Vesia is still grinding through some stuff, looking better at times. Still not perfect. There's no doubt about that. But really, outside of Evan Phillips, Daniel Hudson, he's definitely right up there. But outside of Evan Phillips, you really can't say that one of these guys is a surefire, trusted bullpen piece for the postseason, for high leverage spots when it matters most. And that's what this is all about. I think Daniel Hudson has performed extremely well considering the circumstances. He's made some bad pitches and given up home runs in some tough spots. But the other night when he gives up the run, what happened? It was after that Mookie Betts error, right? So the defense hasn't been kind to him, but still, all in all, Daniel Hudson on the season, a 270 ERA and a 37.8 strikeout rate and a zero walk rate. So he's striking out guys at a high rate. He's not walking guys. I think there's a lot to build on Daniel Hudson, and it really makes me feel even more positive about Blake Treinen, because now we have proof of concept that these guys that were great for this bullpen and got injured and are closer to 40 than they are 30 can come back and be effective. So look, D. Huddy at 37 going out there getting big punchies, definitely need to see it. And for him, it's just kind of missing pitches in certain sequences, leaving some sliders in the middle of the zone. Really, a lot of the breaking balls for a lot of these Dodgers relievers, that's what you really need to sharpen up. Now, batter of the week. Last week, we got to go with our batter of the week. Want to give him a charge here. And that, of course, is for Mr. Shohei Ohtani. Shohei goes 10 for 21, hits a home run on Sunday, passes Hideki Matsui for the most home runs in history for a player born in Japan. Also got a couple of hits with runners in scoring position. I know the narrative of him 1-for-19 with runners in scoring position, that to me is completely overblown. Don't change a thing. The expected numbers are on your side. You're going to do damage in those spots. But how about Shohei Ohtani? Yesterday, really putting this team on his back, getting that bomb when he did, absolutely crushing. Boom! Shohei Ohtani, a deep, no doubt about her, bleacher reacher. And the ultimate sign of respect is when the right fielder doesn't even move. When the outfielder does not move, he's just frozen right there. That's how you know it's gone. And how about this? Another takeaway here. This team is built to slug, but when they're not slugging, they have issues generating runs. That home run by Ohtani was the first home run in over 127 at-bats they had gone with a home run. You had Kike's home run on Tuesday and Ohtani yesterday. So this is a team that's built on slug. They're built on the long ball. But what we saw this weekend definitely scared me a little bit. On Saturday, you had 3 walks for Ohtani. You had 3 walks for Mookie Betts. You had 2 walks for Freddie Freeman. They reached base a combined 12 times, and you were only able to score 4 runs. And I think the game plan is out there that they are not going to let Shohei Ohtani beat them. So it is imperative for Freddie Freeman to go out there and continue to build on the success he had this weekend. And I was never worried about Freddie Freeman, but it's good to see the extra bases start to pop up. So that's another thing. Can the rest of the lineup start to really complement the MV3? I mean, you saw Teoscar Hernandez strike out a couple of big times on Saturday. The bases loaded, right? And he was batting in the cleanup spot with Will Smith having the day off. So that's definitely a little bit of a concern. When Will Smith is off, Teoscar Hernandez striking out in big spots. And you want to see Will Smith in those situations because you know he can put the ball in play. Now, as far as the pitcher of the week for your Los Angeles Dodgers, I'm going with Mr. Tyler Glasnow. And I said this last week, Tyler Glasnow is the new face of the Dodgers rotation. Tyler Glasnow has taken the torch as the ace of this staff, right? And they need a stopper yesterday. He had come off that bad start. We allowed 6 home runs. We allowed 6 extra base hits, 6 runs. He was under the weather, but he was lights out yesterday. 10 strikeouts, no walks, 8 scoreless innings. He was, like I say, he was the first Dodgers pitcher to go 8 strong since Clayton Kershaw back in 2022. And you see the emotion. You see the fire that he pitches with. That is something that this rotation needed. Someone that wants to be that guy in those situations. And for him, it's clear. If he has the feel for the curveball, it takes him to a Cy Young, a Siler glass now, I should say, version of himself, right? And you saw that yesterday. The fastball was more firm. He was hitting his spots. He talked about it during the game, how after the game, how during the game in the fourth inning, his body placement and the way he was leaning was a little off. And he was able to make that mechanical adjustment during the game to have that all click for him. So that's a big breakthrough for me as far as having a pitcher that can adjust in game like that and go out there and pitch like an ace. So Tyler Glasnow is him, man. He is that guy for this team. He is absolutely the ace of the Los Angeles Dodgers. He's proven it so far. His numbers on the season, he's got a 2. His ERA sits at the most.
Parents, when you visit California, childhood rules. If you don't remember how awesome childhood is, just ask yourself,
what would kids do?
Let childhood rule your family vacation. Start planning your trip to the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night, and building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed. From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
37 innings of work at 2.92 ERA. So even with that bad start, still a sub-3 ERA, and he is as advertised. Yeah, D-Mac. Your show is great. Hand waving. What up, Darren over there? Actually, Daryl Dyfner over there. We got Never Like Fergie from Boomer Assassin. We got some super chats here. Jay Bullet. Hey, D-Mac, with our horrible bullpen, could this be the perfect year to convert D-May to reliever? Let's preserve this man's career. I love that take. You've clearly been watching this show for a couple years because we've talked about that on this show, is that with Dustin May, and I've talked to scouts, I've talked to people that have been around the game for long stretches, and they tell me that with Dustin May, that three-quarter delivery, that violent delivery, I think maybe he profiles best as someone that comes out of the bullpen as a multi-inning reliever and gets it done that way. I definitely would be for it, especially when you look at the starting pitcher depth they have this season. It just makes you wonder how quickly he can be back. How will he look? And do they really want to thrust him into that? Because look, that's something that this Dodgers team, they don't do. They just don't rush guys back. But I'd be all for it. I mean, I could absolutely see Dustin May going out there and getting big outs in the postseason because we know his stuff. One, it moves more than a military family. Also, he can generate that soft contact. He has that raw stuff that just plays up in the postseason. But yeah, count me in. I'm on board. Let's have Dustin May coming out of the bullpen. Having said that, these guys all want opportunities to be starting pitchers, and he's still extremely young to the point where you probably have to give it another try at some point. He's just 26 years old. But I think for this season, it makes all the sense in the world to have Dustin May coming out of the bullpen if he's able to return healthy. Terry Hesticles, bruh, got to give that bruh a thing. We got Terry Hesticles, yo, D-Mac. Someone tried to talk. Okay, really? Interesting. I don't know. I'm the GOAT D-Mac. We got, when will May be back? Jose, D-May out of the pen would be scary. Don't miss Fergie or Vigan one bit. May Day to the pen, yes. D-May for closer from Alex Renteria. Dustin May, the next setup man reliever. Nando 390, I think you're absolutely onto something. No, 100%. BC skeptical about May, Gonson, Buehler returns. Adames and Devin Williams for Lux, CT3, Vesia, and May. That's from Jack. That is a pretty wild trade proposal right there. Devin Williams, you're getting one of the best high leverage relievers in the game. Willy Adames, you're getting a shortstop that can help this team this year, but also you could potentially sign him to a deal and he's the long-term play because Adames, he can hit home runs. Yes, he does strike out. Yes, he doesn't get on base as much. We will give you top five defense. There's just not that many options the Dodgers are developing internally. And let's be honest, Mookie Betts, it's admirable. He can play the position. He can get it done. But we also saw two errors lead to costly runs in the series against the Mets. And it's just going to be a lot of wear and tear on the body for him. So, hey, that's a wild trade right there. I think you would need to have Lux's trade value go up. You would need a couple of pretty solid months from Lux at the plate so you can flash that potential. CT3, I mean, if the Dodgers are willing to pay down a lot of that, I'm talking 95% of that, then maybe they do that. So I don't expect him to be a part of that package, but May would be one that, are you really going to trade someone who is injured? If you're the Brewers, you really haven't had the opportunity to be around him during this. So I don't know about that. I think you would have to trade. If you really want to pull off a trade like that, you would definitely need some top level prospects as opposed to some of these guys that either they're on the downside of their career or they're coming back injured. LJ, aren't getting anything good for Lux right now once he plays. Yeah, absolutely. Yo, is that a samurai helmet in the back? Wear it. Adrian, maybe I'll start the show. That is a samurai helmet to my right. And a lot of fans want to see that for the Dodgers this year, bringing that back. But you'd rather have Devin Williams. Yeah, for sure. Let's go down. Ohtani has really changed a lot of things for the Dodgers. Very much like when Braun went to the Lakers. It shortens the leash and clock on a bunch of people. That's a fire take for sure from my man Anthony Keene out there. No, 100%. I mean, when you look at the championship window, it's not just Ohtani being in his prime, but it's also matching that prime up with Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman and 1 year of Teoscar Hernandez. Don't kid yourself. All these guys in other organizations that are young players that are trying to establish themselves at this level, yeah, they would get a longer leash with other teams, but this team, the ownership has told the Dodgers that, hey, the front office, they need to win championships. And that's the mentality. And they know that's the goal. And they have to do it this year. We got Roberts leaves pitchers in when they should be coming out, but pulls guys that are going well. Vinny benches guys that are hot or who just had a multi-hit game and plays guys that are cold. Yeah, I mean, the thing with managers is it's tough, right? I mean, it's a coin flip a lot of the times. You're only going with the hand that you're dealt as far as your bullpen options. But look, I mean, they're trying to preserve guys for deeper into the season, the Yamamotos. But I think it's when it comes to pressing the right button, sometimes Doc pressed the wrong one. Sometimes you press the right one. At the end of the day, this team needs to perform. And they have been underperforming in a lot of different areas. But the Adames seems like a cool guy to have in the clubhouse. Jose, the Adames family, I like that. That's fire over there. Hola from Puerto Vallarta, D-Mac. What up, D-Broder1? Shout out. Sup, D-Mac? What are your keys to a series win against the Nationals? That's from Jose Martinez. I think number one key, can this offense, will it carry over into this series? Because the big key for me offensively is they lead the league in strikeouts with runners in scoring position. And that just can't happen when you're trying to turn over a lineup to get to that MV3, to get to Mookie, Ohtani, and Freddie Freeman. And too many punch outs, not putting the ball in play. That's definitely been the death knell. But here's the good sign. Here's the positive to all that. The positive to all that is the team is creating those opportunities. They are creating those opportunities, and that's what you want, right? I mean, right now the Dodgers, 70 strikeouts with the runners in scoring position this season through 24 games. That's the most in all of Major League Baseball. They're hitting 254. But how about this? If you look at the at-bats, the Dodgers have 236 at-bats with runners in scoring position. That is more than the Arizona Diamondbacks at 220 by a pretty large margin there. So they are creating opportunities. It's just about going up there, putting the ball in play, and executing those situations. These guys have the talent to do that. I think it's just more an approach, a mindset thing. Just make something happen when you're at the plate. Have that pass the baton mentality that we've seen have success for so many years. I mean, that is the number one thing. We know the offense can generate tons of runs, and they're as explosive as any team in baseball. But, and also too, I think kind of the middle relievers you want to see have a little more success. Can the Ryan Braziers go out there and execute and put up zeros? What can you get out of Alex Vesia? Can he go out there and put up zeros? I'm confident in the very back end, but the middle relief, bottom of the lineup with runners in scoring position, and the bottom lineup of just getting on base in general. So that's the number one thing. Dodgers should trade for Tanner Scott. Pajes here to stay. That's from Yang Yi. It's a fire take. I think I talked about with Jose Mota, with Pajes, it's tough to keep those guys off a big league roster when you have a big league swing. That swing, that power is going to play at this level. Even a couple nights ago, without the home run, that was 110 miles per hour off the bat. Yesterday, a double and a home run in the same inning. So that kind of production is going to do wonders for a team. And I think, too, the biggest thing for me is allow him to go through a slump, right? Even if he goes on a hot stretch right now, play him until they've adjusted to him, and then we can see if he can adjust back, and then we can start to have the conversation of him having a prominent role for this team in the postseason. Because, look, Jason Hayward is not going to get Wally Pipped. He's going to get an opportunity to play. And I think Jason Hayward is a good veteran for the bottom of the lineup, right? I mean, you don't have tons of veterans down there in the order. And veterans, they understand how to put the ball in play. They understand situations and what this team needs in certain spots. And I think they'll benefit from that. But Pajes, his goal right now is making a very difficult decision for this team. But Lorenzo Gatta says, oh, 999 Super Chat. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Let's talk about Max's defense. People beat him down when he doesn't play well, so he deserves some praise for how he's been playing lately. Absolutely, Lorenzo. 100%. I mean, I think with Max Muncy, the thing is, when you're not talking about his defense, that is the kind of defense you want, right? We're not going to sit here and say, oh, Max Muncy, he had a Nolan Arenado-like backhand on the line and he made a cross-the-diamond throw. It's not stuff like that. It's just if he can play average-level defense, we know he's an above-average bat, then you have yourself an above-average third baseman. So, yeah, give him credit, though. I mean, he lost weight in the offseason. His lateral movement is better this year. He's not mishandling as many balls. He's gaining more confidence in his throws. So, yeah, he absolutely deserves a ton of credit. I think Max Muncy, it's just want to reduce the strikeouts. That's really the biggest thing for Max Muncy at the moment is he's offensively had some ups and downs this season. He's extremely boom or bust at the moment. Muncy's hitting 231 with a 323 on base, a 449 slug, a 112 weighted runs created plus, so he's 12% above league average. He's hit four home runs so far this season. But what's uncharacteristic about Muncy is a 34.4% strikeout rate. So the strikeout rate is a lot higher. It's over 10 points higher than his career average. So want to see him be able to come through with runners in scoring position. You want to see him come through at the plate and reduce those strikeouts, because we see some big strikeouts for Muncy, and also the runners in scoring position average is not where it's been in the past. It's definitely on the lower side. So, yeah, that's kind of the big thing. But, yeah, give him all the credit in the world. I mean, defensively, he's performed a lot better. Couple more here. We got Jay Bullitt. See, both Vesia and Grove have been getting worse over the last few years. It's okay to give up on them. Grove has had some moments lately. Vesia is still trying to locate. Really, it's about location for him. I mean, the fastball up in the zone on the corners. He got a back foot, front door, that slider. He's a two-pitch pitcher, and both those pitches aren't fully optimized at the moment. But whose job is Páez taking? Talk a little bit about that. Doom underscore Sal, not just his swing. Páez has skills in the outfield with a cannon for an arm. Gavin Lux is having his name changed to Gavin. Okay, that's a little messed up. Nando, 390, D-Mac, Mason Miller needs to be a Dodger before he gets Tommy John. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Metabolic, how many third basemen get that scorcher Max Muncy couldn't get to? Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, some guys hang their hat on their defense, some guys hang their hat on their offense. In this day and age, I mean, you need boppers, and he's a guy that has proven to be able to do that. But guys, we'll be back tomorrow. We'll take more of your comments. Got a jam-packed show tomorrow, and then we'll also be back for a post-game show. More interviews coming this week, more episodes of Dodgers Dugout Live, Monday through Friday, the number one Dodgers show here on YouTube. Thank you so much for joining us here, as always. Got my producer to my left, Antonio, always killing it over there. If you haven't yet, be sure to subscribe to the Dodgers Nation YouTube channel. Hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell, hit that like button. My name is Doug McCain. You can follow me on X and Instagram at DMAC_LA. Remember, nothing brings us together quite like Dodger baseball. And until next time, think blue, bleed blue, and I'm out.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With seven drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent four-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.